you guys. Time once again for my Flickers of Fear. It's my little movie review series that I do on the side here. So let's talk about David Bruckner. Now, I had come across his work several times before. He actually directed segments in a bunch of anthology, like horror anthology movies, The Signal, which was actually kind of less an anthology, is kind of like two or three, like I think it was just two stories. He also did one in VHS and Southbound, which was really good. And he was also the guy that directed the excellent 2017 movie The Ritual, which was based on a book by Adam Neville. Now, despite knowing all of that and having seen all of those things, I hadn't actually heard about, it's not actually his newest film, but it's one of his newer ones, but I hadn't actually heard about his movie The Night House until I was watching on Shudder. They have the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards, like for 2022, where they were giving the awards to movies that came out in 2021. And I noticed that this movie, The Night House, had been nominated in a whole bunch of different categories. I don't remember if it won any of them, but it was like, you know, best lead performance, best movie, best stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I hadn't heard of that one. So I was just kind of like, oh, it sounds really good. It's a haunted house story, kind of. And it had Rebecca Hall in it, and I actually really like her. So I figured, hey, I'll give it a whirl. It's actually on HBO Max, which is where I watched it. Now, I will say that the movie actually kind of did the festival circuit back in 2020, but it didn't get a wide release until 2021, until like late summer of 2021, so I guess it's like considered still like a 2021 movie, even though it actually premiered a while back. Now, the screenplay was actually written by his, you know, oft-writing collaborators, Ben Collins and Luke Piotrowski, I think is how you pronounce his last name. They were the guys that also wrote the movie Super Dark Times, which came out in 2017, which is also really good. This movie was, I mean, it's just like, has atmosphere for days, man. It's just kind of like, it's sort of it's a ghost story, and it's also like a supernatural mystery, and I just got sucked into this like right from the get-go. I have to say too that Rebecca Hall's performance is actually really elevates this movie. It's kind of like she's just very, the range of emotions that she has to portray is just really incredible. It's just, you know, this kind of very just raw, very nuanced, and very kind of real feeling, you know, characterization, and she really, really brings it, and she really like makes this into something special. I mean, like I said, this is kind of like, if you're into like really eerie, like low-key type of ghost stories, not a lot of jump scares or anything like that, it's more like mood and atmosphere, but like creepy shit does happen in it. So don't go into it thinking it's like gonna be some like big action-packed whatever. This one is just like a real eerie, low-key haunted house type story, which I actually really like those, so I actually enjoyed this like quite a lot. So Rebecca Hall plays our main character, whose name is Beth. Now, she's a high school teacher, and her husband, Owen, who is an architect, just a few days prior to the events of the film, he has actually committed suicide. He went out on this rowboat, like on the lake that's sort of like adjacent to their house, and essentially just like blew his head off with a gun that she didn't even know that he owned. So because of this, Beth is understandably quite distraught. She's very confused. She's very angry. She doesn't really know what to do with herself. Now, school has just let out for the summer, so she had like a few days off, like obviously for the funeral and stuff like that. But she goes back to work like at the beginning of the summer to turn in her grades, like with the rest of the teachers. And when she comes back in there, like she's a little bit late, and the way everybody looks at her is just being like, okay, that's a little weird. Like her husband just shot himself and she's back at work after a couple days. Everyone thinks, well, this is probably not good because it's like too early. And her friend, she has like a close friend who's also a teacher named Claire, who is kind of like a major character going forward. And she's very worried about Beth and she tells her that. But Beth is like, well, I have to be doing something normal. You know, to take my mind off of the situation. But you can tell that she's not really all that okay. She's not really dealing with it all that well. She has kind of like a fraught confrontation with like a sort of a disgruntled parent later on, where she just kind of kind of unloads on the lady who's kind of being a little bit of a Karen. So there's kind of that. And she kind of goes out drinking with some of the other teachers. And, you know, it ends up being really awkward for everyone involved because she's kind of like acting like she's dealing with it, but she's obviously not really dealing with it all that well. Probably not helping her mental state all that much is the lake house itself. As I mentioned, her husband shot himself right out on the lake. She's still living there for the time being. Though she tells her friend and neighbor who just lives like, you know, down the coast or whatever, his name's Mel, and she says she's considering selling it. Now, she feels kind of bad about it because her husband, like I said, was an architect, so he actually designed and built this house, and there's still traces of him like all over it. But on the other hand, it is kind of like isolated and lonely. It's sort of like out in the woods a little bit. And the rowboat where he died is still there. So it's just out there kind of like bumping against the dock like every now and then. So she has to like see it like every time she goes outside, like to go to work or whatever. So Beth spends a few nights after Owen's funeral, basically just like sitting on her couch, drinking herself into oblivion and, you know, watching videos of him in happier times or whatever. So like I said, she's not really dealing with it all that well. Very slowly though, weird little things start happening in and around this lake house. She hears what could possibly be a phantom gunshot echoing across the lake, for example. One morning, she sees these muddy or bloody bare footprints on the dock that are gone a little while earlier. It looks like somebody came out of the water and walked up the dock, but then like a couple hours later, they're gone. The stereo turns itself on, like playing one song in particular, which is called The Calvary Cross. Beth starts having really, really weird dreams that she doesn't really know if they're dreams or not because they seem like very realistic. She also starts sleepwalking. Now, she said that her husband Owen used to do that, but she never did. But she says now that he's dead, like she's starting to do it too. Like sometimes she'll wake up in the morning and she'll be like on the bathroom floor or like on the floor of her husband's office or something like that. And it's getting to be a little bit weird. So during one of these purported dreams, nightmares that she's having, she gets a text message from Owen's phone. And it basically says, like, she hears knocking at the front door. She goes to the front door and there's nobody there, but she gets, like, a text message, and it's basically telling her, like, not to be afraid and to come downstairs. And it seems, like, completely and totally real, and she's, like, freaking out, thinking, like, Owen has, like, come back to haunt her or whatever. But then the next morning, when she looks at her phone, the text messages are not there. So she's saying, well, maybe it was a dream after all. But she's not entirely convinced. So what she does is she goes out to, I guess she's been keeping sort of like the police evidence box, like in her car that had like all his bloody clothing and the gun and everything like that. They gave it to her like after. And she hasn't really gone through it yet. I mean, again, understandably. So she goes in there and digs around and gets his phone out and looks to see if the text messages were sent from his phone, and they weren't. They're not there. But when she's going through his phone, just kind of out of curiosity, she comes across a very odd photo of a woman in, it looks like a bookstore or a library or something like that. Now, the photo looks like it's been taken from a little bit of a distance away, like from somebody that was just like watching her, but she didn't know the person was there. And it's sort of taken a little bit from the back, so you can really kind of see like the side of the woman's face and her hair, and like her hand is kind of up like that. Now, at first, Beth is looking at it and she thinks, oh, maybe this is like a candid shot that Owen took of me because it's the same kind of hair and everything like that. But then she starts looking closer and she realizes that it's not her. It's another woman that only kind of resembles her, because she's like, you know, yeah, that looks like me. She's like, I don't have a blouse like that, and, you know, and stuff like, and the background doesn't look familiar. Now, she tells her friend Claire about this. She's like, look at this woman, that's not me. And Claire's like, well, yeah, but it could be you, though. You know what I mean? And, you know, so they kind of have a little bit, not an argument necessarily, but like I said, Claire is worried. Claire basically begs her, look, you know, finding just a photo of a random woman, and she's like not even naked or anything like that. She's just like standing at a bookstore. She's like, there's certainly way worse things you could find on your husband's phone. Just please stop worrying about it. She's like, it, even if the photo isn't of you, if it's just some random woman, then what good will it do to like just dredge up the secrets? You know, your husband's dead and you really need to go on with your life. Just remember the Owen that you loved and just stop looking into it, like for the sake of your own mental health, which seems like good advice. But of course, Beth cannot let it go. I mean, the thing about it, and like I said, understandably, she's obviously filled with a lot of grief. It was very surprising what happened, but she's also very angry at him. I mean, because she's like, what the fuck? Like, why did you do this to me? It's like she had no idea that he was even depressed or anything, because she says to her friends, she's like, that was my thing. Like, I was the one that struggled with depression. He always seemed like he was the one that was always pulling me out of it. And she even kind of makes sort of like a joke, but not like about maybe I infected him with my depression or something like that. She said it was completely unexpected. She didn't even know he had the gun or anything like that. So she's like really, really angry. She doesn't know the reasons behind it. And so she really, really wants to get to the bottom of it, even though it's obviously very upsetting for her. She's also tormented by this very terse and cryptic note that he left her, like suicide note. It's basically just four lines and says something like, you were right, there is nothing. And then it says, I can't remember what the third line was, but the last line was, you're safe now. And she tells Claire, she's like, well, I kind of know what the first part of that means, but it's like, I don't really know what you're safe now. She's like, I don't really know what that means. But she knows what a couple of the other things mean though, but it's still like pretty weird. So Beth starts investigating further into like, what the fuck, did he have some whole secret life that I didn't even know about, because I didn't think that we had secrets from each other, but apparently I was wrong because all this shit was going on. So as she investigates further, looking into his phone and things like that, she finds even more mysterious photos of women who sort of look like her. They're not, it's not a kind of thing where it's like, oh, they're naked or any, or it's porn or anything like that. It's sometimes they're just kind of like candid shots. Sometimes they're just like, you know, just a regular portrait of like a woman smiling, like on a dock or something like that. And sometimes they're taken from like far away, but they all kind of look like her. You can tell that it's not her, but they all just kind of have like longish dark hair like she has. She also finds hidden like in this box behind a bunch of other books and things like that, she finds like a bunch of sort of like disquieting books about the occult that Owen has made notes in. She also finds there are some architectural plans for a house that is essentially an exact mirror image of their own house, like the one that they've been living in, which is really weird. And there's like some shit about mazes and trickery and stuff like that. And she's like, what the fuck was this dude like into? You know, the dreams and the sleepwalking continue. Beth sort of starts getting to a point where she can't really tell like what really happened and what really didn't. She looks across the lake one night and thinks she sees another house over there. Like she sees like a light in the window. And when she asks Mel, he's like, yeah, there's no house there. It's just like, it's county land. You're not allowed to build on it or whatever. But he kind of knows a little bit more than he's kind of letting on to. So she starts seeing shit like that. And there's a lot of stuff about like reverse mirror images. And she sees kind of some sort of shadowy, I don't want to call it like a shadowy figure. It's kind of like a silhouette that looks kind of like a person, but not like from a different angle. It's actually like really cool. But yeah, so there's all that kind of stuff. So the mystery of the movie comes from, what exactly was Owen up to? Like, why did he kill himself when Beth had absolutely no reason to think that he would do something like that? Is Owen maybe haunting the house, like, because he's trying to tell Beth what was going on? I mean, somebody's haunting the house for sure. Like, there's some weird ghosty shit going on. Or is it him? Is it something else? Is it something more sinister? Is there some other plot that needs, because for sure there was some kind of shit going on with Owen that she absolutely knew nothing about. So as the movie goes on, like, the mystery gets like deeper and deeper, and it gets like kind of thornier and murkier. And it perhaps has something to do, I want to spoil too much about it because I feel like maybe a lot of people haven't seen this one yet, but it could have something to do with linking back to something that Beth told Claire earlier, that when she was 17 years old, she had essentially like a near-death experience, or she was in like a really bad car accident. She was dead for like 4 minutes. And she's telling her that, you know, people ask me all the time, what did you see, like, after you died? Did you see, like, the tunnel of light and everything? And she says something like, I didn't see anything. She's like, it wasn't a tunnel. She says something like, it wasn't a tunnel of light. It was just tunnel. Like, there was nothing there. So that kind of does play into the story, like, later on. So, as I mentioned, I'm really glad that I ended up hearing about this. Like I said, I wouldn't probably have heard of it necessarily, unless I was watching that Shudder, Fangoria Chainsaw Awards show, because that's also where I heard about Censor and Come True and, like, some other movies that I've watched recently, In the Earth, like, ones that I watched recently that I really liked. And this was definitely one of the best ones. It's outstanding. It's very slow burn. Like I said, it's kind of like a mystery or like a supernatural thriller, but it is a ghost story, you know what I mean? And it has like this really complex and really, really interesting, compelling mystery like at the center of it. As I said, there are very, very few jump scares. There are a couple. It just kind of like drips with this really creepy atmosphere. I think like one of the best things about it was just like the way that the ghost sometimes like appears. It's almost kind of like this, it looks like a human silhouette, like in the architectural details of the house. Like sometimes she'll turn around and she'll see like what looks like a shadow silhouette in sort of like a little doorway or some kind of like molding or something like that. But then when she moves like that, like it's gone again, like the angle, it's like really, really good. It like plays with like angles and mirror images and stuff like that. And it's like really unsettling. So I really liked the way that came across. And I feel like the mystery is so, this definitely needs like a second watch. The mystery is not complicated necessarily, but there's a lot of moving parts to it. There's like a lot of kind of details. I don't know. I guess it's not that complicated. Like I kind of got where it was going, but I mean, I didn't really guess exactly where it was going, but it was a little bit of a surprise like at the end, like what the aspect of the mystery was, that, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, it's hard to say like without spoiling it, but yeah. So if you're looking for something like really gory or really super fast paced or action packed or anything like that, then this is not for you. But if you're really into really creepy kind of slow burn ghost stories that have like a really weird, like supernatural mystery at the heart of it, then you should really dig this, I think. It's kind of like a very thoughtful, sort of like a puzzle box ghost story. And Rebecca Hall was like great at the center of it. I think she really, really conveyed what a person would react like if something like this had happened, if their husband like suddenly like committed suicide and you had no idea why, and then you were finding out. A lot of the like rage and stuff like that like comes out really well, but she's still obviously like loves and misses this man as well because of all of they had been married for 14 years, I think she mentions. So it's kind of like this, it's just like a really, really great like emotional performance. And I thought she was like really fantastic in it. So yeah, if you're really into ghost stories, this is on HBO Max at the moment. So check it out. It's really good. I liked it quite a bit. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.